kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Do you ever find yourself saying yes when deep down you want to say no? You know, your body is saying no, but your mind communicates yes to your tongue. Do you ever find yourself deeply frustrated? Deeply frustrated, bringing this frustration into your life and work and in your marriage, in your relationship with the feminine. And there's this deep no, there's an anger there. And you bring this frustration, but you're keeping it on the inside, but intermittently, without any control, unexpectedly to the outside world, a burst of aggression. And it can be an aggression that, you know, it mightn't be physical, indeed sometimes it might be in extreme circumstances, but an aggression, like an attacking, aggressive outburst of energy comes through you. An expression that can shock the other side, and in deep intimate relationship, maybe your beloved, your goddess, she's come to expect this, that every now and then, every couple of weeks, every couple of months, this outburst comes, and it might just be a momentary outburst, but it comes. You ever find yourself frustrated that your woman, your beautiful wife, your partner, the feminine in your life, you don't feel she appreciates you for the man that you are? There are many other ways of describing what the Mr. Nice Guy, feminine pleasing dark side is of so many of us modern men. If you're saying yes to some of those things some of those questions I've posed at the beginning, you just may be part of a very big, cohort, big group of modern men like myself. I'm putting my hand up literally, physically, energetically here as you're listening in, individually and collectively been reared to negate our masculine dark core. And it's become dark because we've suppressed it. Today's episode actually is birthed from my beautiful queen, Matilda. She was looking at our wedding album. We had this beautiful wedding album done, sort of home style, cut out photos, put it in, and Matilda had written in poems that I was writing to her earlier on in our relationship in first year, a couple of years, and I've written since then, but I think in the wooing, the seducing, the the early courtship, there's probably a lot more poems maybe. It's probably a reminder to myself to maybe get that pen out again sometime soon. Yet in the beginning, there was so much of this communication going on, and indeed, I really loved that whole process. For me, it was the freshness of new love and finding expression. And yet, she brought me the album and she was like, "Oh my God, read this poem. It's amazing. It's extraordinary to read it now, to see how far you've come." And in essence, you know, it was even shocking for my queen to read it now, because at the time when she read it, I'll read it out for you here. At the time, this was one of the most beautiful expressions imaginable for her. My poems at that time, and this one in particular, were a real sort of a beautiful expression from her man, and she felt really loved by them. And yet, 13 years later, and especially in the last number of years, if you've been following the podcast, you know, I've expressed and very openly the levels of deep inner work I've found absolutely necessary to do to effectively salvage my marriage with my beautiful queen, and salvage my family life and indeed my sanity along with it. I've been on an sometimes excruciatingly painful inner journey, but a revelatory journey. Only excruciatingly painful in the times when I was resisting the path, learning to relax into relearning to ferociously self-love and accept all my being, my full expression, everything on the inside. I'll read the poem and then we'll sort of pick it apart. But as always here in the podcast, you know, my invitation to you is, as you're listening in, if there's some part, just feel into what bits are being triggered in you. There could be bits triggered where, you know, your mind might translate a triggering as in, well, this is just fucking bullshit, this isn't for me. Listen in for triggers where, you know, you might judge me, you might judge the poem, you might judge the podcast material, the content as, well, that's not for me. Sometimes, you know, well, oftentimes, Carl Jung, the founder of modern psychotherapy and deep inner work, he'd say, like, anytime you're triggered, there's a truth there. You're learning something about yourself. Anytime you have a deep judgment about something or somebody else, there's a deep learning about your inner truth that is accessible there. Oftentimes, the gift that is there, the unpacking can be an uncomfortable process. Yet, Kings of Freedom, this podcast, this is what it's about. It's leaning into this uncomfortable aspect of growth and learning to relax into it, that it can make it more comfortable. So leading with this poem, and as I said, the context was, this poem was in the first few months of life together, romantically connecting with my beautiful woman, and like, we moved in together after just a month together. We would go on to get married our style at the end of a 35-day pilgrimage to Santiago on to Finisterre, overlooking the Atlantic. And just there alone, we exchange vows. And so this is one of those poems in those early months of our journey together. I will try to love you more every day. I will try to make your world seem okay. I will try to be a better man. I will try to make you smile whenever I can. I will try to help you set your ego free so that you can live and just be. I will never stop breathing if there is something you are needing. I will never stop writing this poem until reality is our safest home. Love you completely and always will. Now, not to get too, what's the word, pedantic. I'm laughing at myself because sometimes these complicated words come and I pepper them in to make myself feel a bit intellectual and more intelligent maybe than I am. But sometimes I question do I actually know the meaning? Maybe pedantic is the right word, maybe not. Not to get too like old style English class picking apart a poem, but I'm going to just put the focus on some of the meaning that's coming through here and thread it into this Mr. Nice Guy, feminine pleasing dark side that so many of us have. And in many senses, reading the poem again and just having a laugh and a deep reflective conversation with my queen there yesterday, you know, just seeing how far I've come, because this poem, much of it actually reflects so much of the song, so much of the pop culture, so much of the romantic films that are out there, which have so much feminine pleasing, Mr. Nice Guy. You know, the depictions in modern song when men are writing about romantic endeavors with the feminine, there's so much pleasing going on, and it gives this impression that this is the right way. And yet, you know, to speak to it, my goddess Matilda, like what she was commenting on is, You know, she has come to trust me infinitely more when I've went beyond this pleasing aspect, this Mr. Nice Guy aspect, this persona where I was saying yes by default, trying to please her in every imaginable way. She has learned to trust me more now that I've become infinitely more comfortable with my anger, infinitely more comfortable, and anger is this pure emotion. The repression, suppression of anger is at the core of this Mr. Nice Guy. It's a core issue that so many of us modern men, especially when we get into the realm of married life and married life with kids on top of it, this inability to be at home with the emotion of anger when we have it has been judged so much in society. We have difficulties with it. We're untrustworthy. Because when you're saying yes and you actually have a deep no inside, your woman feels the resentment. She feels this build-up of energy. She will feel the frustration. You might be saying, oh no, but I'm okay. She feels, she knows within a nanosecond that you're not actually okay. And the more you say that you're okay, like she knows that you mightn't consciously be doing. You might be, oh no, I'm okay. But you've shut down. You're closing down. You're closing down. The softness in your face, the softness in your voice. There's like a million little teeny tiny signs that she knows just unique to you. She knows that you're not actually, all is not okay. So you're hiding an aspect of yourself, and that's not trustworthy. You might mean well. I meant well for so many years not to express from that anger because I it wasn't modeled growing up, and I learned to be afraid of it. Just to speak to that as it comes up, you know, it's not to go too expansive in this episode here. It's wordy. It's a very big topic. But one of the main reasons why so many men, I'll speak for myself, but just piggyback off this and see what's relevant, what hits home for you with your upbringing. One if not the main reasons why I ended up suppressing anger was my upbringing was, you know, my upbringing was deeply influenced by my amazing mother, such an amazing, powerful woman, and like with the experience she had with childhood growing up and how she surfaced to be the loving, committed mother of four amazing kids, and how she, you know, held the household together in so many ways, and as my dad was out working. But in that dynamic, I ended up learning so much about life through the eyes of the feminine, through the eyes of my mother. I've spoken about this in other episodes, but it's always useful to just pepper it in again. Repetition is mastery. You know, we can intellectually understand something, but it's only on the reminders, the repeated reminders, that we end up dropping in a level deeper in understanding and in realization of the depth of how this conditioning has affected us. But I ended up learning so much about life through the eyes of my mother, and as a result, the sacred masculine just wasn't really there, and my dad, like so many men of his generation, you know, the social conditioning was, as a man, you work and you come home, and maybe beyond like mowing the lawn and doing a bit of DIY, you know, like your job is done, you have provided. And there's no right or wrong about my dad, there's no right or wrong about your dad, but so much of the social conditioning, that was the role of the man. All the way back from the Industrial Revolution, when we were taken from the land and put into factories, etc., etc. This social role of the masculine was to go out, work, provide, come back, do the manly jobs around the house, and you know, the upbringing, the sensitive emotional stuff, the nurturing of the children, that was the female role. But there was a major loss in that, because for myself personally, and speaking with so many men, there's a major loss, because we never got the sacred learning that is so essential to learn about what it is to be a man. And there are so many aspects about being a man. But one of the key things is like this dark side, this ferocious side, this wild side, this powerful black and white capacity we have. Not having the male presence around us, and I speak for myself, not having that male presence around me. And maybe in many senses my dad didn't have this embodied. in many senses, there was a pleasing component there. But bringing it back to myself, not having this manly presence there, I didn't get to learn what it was to be a man. And when I talk about what it means to be a man, you know, identifying as a man, having a cock and balls, you have testosterone going through your body. Now, a fully energized man, and you know, I had difficulties with this. It's like this badass, ferocious warrior sort of a nature, this boldness in me. You know, more like when this testosterone is going through me, there's like the aggressive climbing, the competitiveness in it with my brothers, there's a bit of a loudness in it. You know, it's boisterous. Sort of was tamed. It was sort of, you know, cut back, and definitely behaviours within the house, yeah, it was okay to be outside and be competitive, but in the house it was like no anger was allowed. No expression of, like, saying no, like a real no. That was curbed off. That was sort of wrong. It was cagey. It was all about positive emotionality. It was all about the soft, nice, being happy, being friendly, being nice, being kind. All beautiful feminine traits. But the darker emotional aspects of the masculine were sort of put to the side and were unwittingly wronged and were shamed. That this dark side of this, where I would just say a no, you know, it's like there was some part of my being that many times, you know, I'd have certain expressions that would want to come through me, and you know, when I was told I wasn't allowed, there was a deep no, a growl that would come through, and I was shamed. Yet in these early day expressions, I was trialing, I was experimenting with finding out who I was, you know, as a boy, but that would become as a man. And so much of that was put down. And, you know, in my mother's experience, there's a lot of aggression growing up from the unconscious masculine. And if you go back in so many men, as a result of, you know, the ripping away from the farmlands, the old way, the agrarian, agricultural way of living, you know, just over a century ago, a century and maybe 30, 40 years beyond that, there was a deep emotional, psychic dent put in the identity of men. And, you know, we took on this sort of rat race, chasing the, sort of like the American dream, the search to riches, and the soul of a man sort of became lost along the way. As a result, the generations of our fathers and grandfathers, and, you know, there's been evolutions and they're great men in their own right, but this soulful connection with their own full psyche was sort of eroded. They didn't really know what it was to be a man and to be a full warrior, integrated man with king, warrior, magician, lover, full archetypal expression, initiated men. Many ways, you know, that wasn't allowed to them. Now, there again, no right or wrong, no morality in this. It's not a judgment against your father, our fathers, grandfathers before. Great men in how they carved out a 10 out of 10 all-in existence with what was allowed to them at the time. But there was this disconnect between fathers and sons, and learning to suppress the dark, wild, unapologetic, testosterone-fueled, sexually energized aspect of our being. In many senses, it was like everything my mother didn't approve of, I ended up suppressing. Because I didn't have this, my dad there. And, you know, just touching base with yourself. Who was the predominant presence for you growing up? Who nurtured you? Who cared for you? Who was the one supporting you as a boy growing into, you know, a young teenager, etc.? Who was the one that took on the predominant parenting role? Was it your mother? Was it your dad? You know, if you were even putting a percentage on it. You know, is it more like the 80% mother and, yeah, a little sprinkle of the 10, 15, 20% dad type thing? You know, is it, a lot of guys would touch base when, yeah, actually there was sort of that type of thing. And, you know, when that is the case, when there's an imbalance in the amount of time that you had access to your dad, and way more access that you had with your mother, this inevitably happened. This inevitably happened, that there was a lot more tapping into the feminine. And for so many of our mother's generation, no right or wrong, but they would have experienced a lot of suppression from the unconscious, the masculine, the patriarchal sort of thing. The man was the one back in our grandparents' generation, no right or wrong, but it was sort of like the stoic man, unfeeling, predominantly did the work, earned the money, came in, maybe had a couple of beers. He ruled the roost in a way. There was a sternness about him. There was the disciplinarian aspect of him. But there was a hardness there. And oft times the feminine, our mothers growing up, would have witnessed, you know, a hardness that they would have seen the emotions of their mothers maybe not respected so much. So there was a distrust of the masculine that they would have learned, even if they had so many times, like, such a deep love for their dads, your granddad, etc., etc. This has been inherited, you know, and it's bringing this context that in all of this, we're not dealing with just what we have experienced as men ourselves. We're dealing very often with the inheritance of multigenerational trauma. So there's a lot on our shoulders. Big conversation. Getting back to the poem, just gave, there was a little bit of a context there. So much of the poem, this poem, typifies the expression of the Mr. Nice Guy pleasing dark aspect that wants to gain the favour of the feminine. And the gaining the favour of the feminine in intimate relationship and marriage, so often, like, you know, if you go to psychotherapy, it's like they start asking about childhood. What was your relationship with your mother growing up, with the feminine in your youth? And, you know, as men, we've been conditioned that we don't fucking want to go back there, you know, because it's the, when we go into our childhood, there's all murky dark stuff, and that's where the deep emotions were packed away. Yet it's such a revelatory journey to be able to relax into it. The main thing here is, like, the distinction is, like, when you investigate the feminine, the external feminine, so often, even in deep inner masculine work, so often guys get caught up with an intellectual understanding, and, like, the feminine is seen as what I call the secondary feminine, masculine-feminine relationship, which is the masculine, male, understood. It's a limited understanding. Masculine is not male. We have a masculine core, but there's a deep feminine aspect, and women have the same. But so often the understanding is look through that paradigm where masculine-feminine relating is secondary. It's the masculine, male, relating with the feminine pole, which is the female. But on the deepest level, it's the primary masculine-feminine relationship is your masculine core, but you have a feminine core, and that's the feelings, the emotions, this heart, this love of yours, all these, anything within the emotional realm, that's the feminine. And that's why it gets very uncomfortable for us, because we've been conditioned to suppress that. We've been conditioned that the feminine aspect of us is, it has been shamed out of us, this connection with us. You know, you're so often weren't allowed to cry as a boy. We weren't allowed to get angry. So much our mothers didn't allow this hard masculine part to come true. And so we ended up learning to seek approval from the feminine growing up. And very often in our generation, even the teachers that we met in our younger days, very often, like, you know, in primary school, it's women again. So often we end up learning to seek approval. We earn, like, in school and at home, you know, oh, good boy. We end up replicating what are the behaviors that earn us the label of, oh, good boy. And we shy away from the behaviours that earn the label bold boy, or get the telling off, or get the shout. And this all makes sense, you know, when you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's like, whatever, you know, you're at home, you don't want to be getting in trouble all the time. So you do what essentially gains the approval of your mother. Then you might be bold when not in her presence, but actually there is a great divide there. You know, you have the one behavior in front of the female, the important female figure in your life, and then you have another behavior when she's not present. This is a big split in the psyche of men as well. You know, there's the one behavior when the wife is present, and then there's this secret behavior, this secret aspect seeking expression when she's not around. Just touch base with yourself. You know, modern life, there's a lot of porn addiction going on. It's the secret dark aspect of sexual shaming, repression, suppression when we were younger, of this sexually energized, testosterone driven aspect of our being that wasn't really nurtured. We didn't have our dads there often, maybe at all, to, you know, educate us in what sexuality was about, what this potent force of nature. You know, if you ever see a stallion, we have a little tiny stallion here, and fuck, like, when he's so testosterone energized, he's like this little falabella. It's the smallest horse you can have, and like, he goes into a field full of mares, and like, he risk getting kicked in the fucking head. He's so powerful, though. He's absolutely fearless in the way he goes at it. He hasn't fucking hope in hell. He's about like 4 foot from ever gaining entry to the sacred garden of the mares. But he'll fucking try, like, for hours at a time to penetrate the female, penetrate the feminine. He's unstoppable. He's ferocious. He's so packed full of energy. We've learned to hack that aspect from us. But the hacking of that part from us, and I know with myself, this pleasing element, this good boy, you know, I sought the praise. I learned to suppress this, what was the behaviours, being the bad boy, challenging my mother, saying no, anything that brought the labelling of bad boy, bold boy, no, don't do that, you know, anything that brought on this emotional expression of upset. So I ended up seeking approval. And this approval, this seeking of approval, shows up in this poem. And as I say there again, it shows up. If you think, I don't know how much into music you are. I wasn't actually so much into music, so I don't have at hand the lines of songs that I can quote. But think of some of the love songs, you know, where there's a male singer. If you think of some of the lines of the love songs, there's so much pleasing in it, pleasing of the feminine, that they're always going to be there. Touching base with this poem, you know, it's like, I will try to make your world seem okay. It's this attempting that the role is pleasing the feminine. I will try to make your world seem okay. I will try to be a better man. I will try to make you smile whenever I can. I will try to help you set your ego free. That's just point. I was in a lot of Buddhist teachings at the time. But there again, it's like saving. I'll try and save you. I'll try and be the knight in shining armor is actually a part of the persona of the nice guy. Where, you know, we want to save the woman. We want to help her fix her problems. We want to liberate her from her problems. You know, it's like it's this thing of, I can be the one, I can help you. I will never stop breathing if there is something you are needing. This thing of, you know, I will support you, I will meet your every need. And, you know, on a level, is it wrong to have a desire? Is it wrong to have a part of you that desires to, you know, help and support your woman at times of need? No. But here's the dark side, the flip side of it all. In the trying to meet the needs and please the feminine, we end up getting lost. And when that becomes an out of balance expression of your being, when the conscious aspect of your being is, I found this where I was trying to meet the needs, as through this poem, it's like, you know, this nice guy this pleasing guy. You know, I'm here to save you. I'm the knight in shining armor. You know, I can love you completely. I'll be the one that loves you so completely. You know, my love for you will be undying. And maybe you wrote poems yourself to your beloved early days, and maybe you're knocking out of park. You still are, more often than I am. But in this expression of light, like there's light and there's darkness, this expression of light, there's this conscious, loving part that's very white, it's very pure, it's all about pure consciousness, it's clean, it's instantly approvable, it's nice. When you lean too much into that and you lose connection with the dark warrior, aggressive when appropriate, there's a dark side, there's a shadow side, there's an animalistic side in us, there's this part that there's a killer element to us. You know, that speaking with different guys, and it was a revelation for me in deep inner work last year, where I did a killer practice. Just having this permission to express unapologetically this killer element. It was like killer with heart. You had to do this practice where, you know, this cutting killer part of my psyche, where I could call guys out. It was like I could say the most, it's almost like this antisocial, what were the most unpleasing things, but just fucking let them free and call guys out and challenge guys and insult guys. It was like this dark side was just allowed to be free. It was so energizing. It was so liberating. There was this part of my being that had been chastised, had been locked up, had been told by teachers, by my mother, by society, that no, you need to cut that part away from you. And as men, you know, just touch base. Like, it's not just in marriage that this shows up. It shows up in corporate world. It shows up in the workplace. You know, this badass motherfucking part of you that is so energized that like a stallion can just steamroll in, get fucking shit done, call people out when they need calling out. There's this hyper political correctness. There's a level of, and don't get me wrong, you know, political correctness, there's a point that it's obviously improvements have come in it. You don't want certain expressions that are derogatory, etc., etc. So, like, it's just, don't get me wrong in this. It's very easy in a provocative conversation to take one aspect or one interpretation and go, oh, well, here, look at, he's talking about political correctness is incorrect. But touch base, so many men that I'm talking with, it's almost like in a workplace, it's hard to fucking say anything that's true, anything that's direct, because people's noses get so knocked out of joint that there's so much political correctness that, like, it's almost like the question, what can you actually say that's really direct? Oh, but you hurt my feelings. Sometimes, like, it's like a part of growth is challenging. Sometimes there's this need, that leadership from a heart-centered perspective, but you've got to be able to be okay to say something that's direct, that's necessary. A fearless communication often is an uncomfortable experience for both members of that co-creative conversation that's happening together. One of the big things in the Mr. Nice Guy, feminine pleasing dark side is, by social conditioning, there again, the pop songs, the movies, our foundational relationship that we formed relating with our mothers, where we, you know, there again, we learned to hide the behaviors that didn't gain approval, and we nudged into the approving aspects. Our relationship then tends to be secondary purpose oriented. And what I mean by that is, it's outwardly looking. Our orientation as men, I break purpose. And there's so much talk about purpose. Have you noticed that? Like, in modern life, peak performance, podcast, you know, to be fulfilled as a man, you need to know your purpose. If you read any of the core masculine books about like Iron John, The Way of the Superior Man, there's other books here, was it To Be a Man, etc. I've lots of books on my shelf here to my site. So much is talking about purpose. You know, you as a man, you need to know what your purpose is in life. And yet, so often, the purpose is looked for on the outside. I call that the secondary purpose. It's like, hey, geez, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm seeking, I'm looking for my purpose. You know, I'm going backpacking to Bali. I'm looking for my purpose. And it's on the outside purpose. It's this outside expression of what you want to gift life. And that is a sacred aspect. Anything you do and create outside of yourself is a sacred aspect of your being. There again, don't take me out of context. I'm not saying it's not sacred. Anything you do, Gandhi created a movement on the outside. Fuck me, was that sacred? Yes. Nelson Mandela, sporting greats, Muhammad Ali, etc., etc. You know, great external secondary purpose manifestations of their dharmic life purpose. Yet what has been sort of hacked away is what I would call the primary purpose. And the primary purpose is the inside purpose. It's learning to ferociously self-love and accept your entire being, yourself. It's your inner world experience. It's the primary masculine and feminine. It's your masculine core. What the fuck does that mean to be a man? But it's also the feminine core of your being, which is your emotionality. And when that emotionality has been hacked out, and we've been shamed so much that, you know, get up your pussy when you're sitting down crying as a boy. Your mother goes, oh, don't you get angry with me. And there's all of this, like your teacher goes, oh, don't be bold, don't be shouting, don't be climbing. All of these masculine core expressions, you know, this, you just want to get, you want to get vigorously active physically when you're in school. How often was that allowed? It fucking wasn't. So to succeed within the academic world, which was the like such an important part of our socialization process, to be good, to gain approval, you had to shut off so much of your masculine being to gain the approval of, there again, you're relating with the feminine so often. So to gain the approval, you had to chop away your connection with this ferocious warrior part of you that just wanted to fucking climb, wanted to shout, wanted to fight, wanted to get moving, wanted to do something vigorous with activity. No, you had to sit down, shut up, listen, and, you know, cut this deep, emotional, energized part of your being. It mightn't mean so testosterone energized back early days, but, you know, there's that bold aspect. Look at your kids, like if you have any sons, you know, that masculine core is fucking, it's boisterous, it's wild. You had to cut that element from you. So we end up disconnecting from the primary inner purpose, this primary masculine-feminine relationship inside of ourselves. But we will seek purpose, we will seek meaning. And as a result of this inner relationship being nurtured, being shamed out of looking inside of ourselves, learning to ferociously self-love and accept ourselves and delve into the inner world and allow ourselves the full unapologetic expression of the sacred emotions coming through. No, that was hacked out. So we look for secondary purpose. And secondary purpose, secondary masculine, feminine, is relating with the woman. So we seek the purpose on the outside. And when you're looking on the outside, you're outwardly looking for purpose. And you're not feeling allowed to feel into your emotions, to honor your emotional risings. One major thing happens. There again, the masculine, the Mr. Nice Guy, the feminine pleasing dark side. One key thing happens in relationship. We unwittingly, subconsciously end up hyper-focused on the data we're receiving when we're looking at our woman. Have you noticed, or does this show up in your life, guys, that in communication, you might be aware of it there again, you mightn't be actually be aware of this. This could be more after this podcast episode. You know, just tune in to what's actually happening in your inner experience as you're relating with your woman. But have you noticed that you're sort of hyper aware of her reaction? When you're saying something challenging, you're Is there a concern with you? Are you looking to see, you know, her facial expressions, her tone of voice? Oh, is she going to be angry? Is she going to be upset that I'm saying this? I'm looking for time off, you know, more time to do the project at work. I'm looking to get some time for myself. Is there a guilt that comes up? Is there a hyper-awareness of what might be signs of rejection from the feminine? Signs of rejection in your woman, in your wife, in your partner, goddess, queen, whatever beautiful words you refer to your beautiful woman. Do you find yourself that you're hyper-aware of the signs that she is showing you, like the data that's showing up on her face, her emotional reactivity? How is she receiving what you're saying, receiving what you're communicating? Maybe you're asking for something or you're expressing something that there's some part of you hyper-focus on what her reaction will be. Is there ever a time when you feel nervy expressing a part, just expressing something, expressing a desire, expressing some part of your being, expressing some part of what shows up in your inner world, that when you're saying it to her, you're nervous, you're anxious? You'd actually, maybe often, you just wouldn't express parts of your being. You wouldn't express parts of your sexual attractiveness to other women. You wouldn't express parts of your fucking aggressive part that whatever that person is, you fucking hack their head off. A guy, maybe you fucking hack his head off because he's looking at your woman so much. You wouldn't express. There's these dark parts of your being that you just feel way too cagey. It's too unsanitized. It's too unsafe. It's too wild. It's too dark. It's too bold. You'd be judged. And I'm using really provocative examples there. There's less extreme examples. But nonetheless, do you ever find yourself nervous, afraid of rejection, afraid, and you're looking for this data? You're trying to read her data before you will speak any more on a certain topic. This is when we're in an imbalanced way, outwardly looking for the reaction of our women, the reaction of the feminine. This happens, is happening in, I don't know, I 85-90% of relationships, a lot of relationships, guys have this part of their being where they're holding part of their truth back, a big part of their truth back from the feminine. And the major complication that happens is, you know, a lot of guys would say, but I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to say these things. I don't want to, you know, express this sexual shadow I have, that there could be deep attraction to the feminine, and there's this good part of you, this core part of you, you'd never want to act out in that, and you know, I've had that part. But to be honest, like, if I just think of the feminine pleasing part, you know, oh, I'd never hurt you, I'm always going to love you, you know, all these expressions, and I sort of deep down sort of wanted to mean it, but like, I didn't know the sexual, dark, repressed part of my being. It has been such a revelatory journey, you know, for so many years. Matilda would have been asking me, it's like, oh, do you know, there was this fear that I would leave her, and I hid this part of my sexual beingness, my sexually energized being, and you know, there was a question, oh, did I find that one to try, did I look at that woman, and like, and so often I would have glanced. She would have caught me, you know, sort of having this unconscious look. But I would have denied it. Was, oh, no, no, I wasn't looking. Oh, no, no. And it's like, here's the thing. Matilda fucking knows well. She knew well that there was this part of my being. But the more I denied it, and I would have been like, oh, well, I don't want to hurt her. And it's like, I had no intention to actually go beyond, you know, an inner expression, an inner thought of it. But the more I repressed, the more I suppressed, the less trustworthy I was. And the more I suppressed, the more those thoughts actually came up in my mind. Have you found that there's parts of your sexual attractiveness to the feminine external that you're just not willing, not wanting to let your woman in on? unknowing this aspect of you, that you'd be deeply, maybe embarrassed, ashamed that there's such explicit desires in you. You know, there's explicit thoughts, explicit fantasies in you. I know for so many years I had these fantasies, but it was like, it was corrosive for my relationship with Middle because I wasn't owning that, what I now call my sacred kingly fuck energy. I wasn't owning that. I was ashamed of that. There again, it came back to childhood conditioning. My mother, there was these expressions. I learned that, you know, the male attractiveness to the opposite sex was something that was wrong. It wasn't a nice aspect. There was interpretations, misinterpretations of my mother and my father growing up. You know, I learned to suppress that element of my core sexuality, my core sexual testosterone energized nature and desire to fuck, to make love, to ravish, you know, the feminine, my woman. I learned to tame that part down because I was ashamed of it and I was suppressing it. Yet there again, the masculine, the Mr. Nice Guy, feminine pleasing part of me and part of you, it's like this puppy dog element that the more you want to please and the more you're afraid to hurt the feminine, and it's sort of the conscious part is, oh, I'm afraid to hurt the feminine. The deepest part is, I'm afraid to be rejected by the feminine. Do you find that? You know, like you might camp out, oh, well, I don't want to hurt her by telling her these things. Actually, deep down, it's like you're withdrawing your right to speak your truth. But isn't the superficial part is, oh, I don't want to hurt her. It's true to a point. But deep down, there's some inner child part of you that's probably more deeply afraid and more true is, you're really afraid that if you spoke your full truth unapologetically, it's like, this is part of my being, this is a part of who I am, that there can be a deep fear that the feminine would reject you. Maybe the feminine would leave you. You know, when you go really deep, I know that's the core root wound for me, and in deep masculine coaching with so many men around the world, it's cross-cultural. Almost all men that I end up in coaching, and like some of them are like exceptionally successful outside world career, amazing what they're doing, so successful on the outside. You'd meet these guys and so much success, so much over like high achievement externally. Deep down, scared shitless, like I was, and still tending to these wounds, scared of being rejected by the feminine. Inner child scared that the maternal feminine that we learn from, the maternal relationship, we've brought those fears into marriage, into deep intimacy. We're actually deep down afraid that our woman will look at us and go, you're unlovable. There's this element of you that I just don't fucking love. I can't accept that. That's horrible. That's disgusting. So the answer ends up being, so classically, I did it for so long and I'm leaning into it more and more, is I'm not caught up with the secondary purpose of I'm here to please and save my wife and be the hero in whore life, and you know, I'd be the hero, I'd be the knight in shining armor. I'm tending more to my primary purpose. And my primary purpose, part of the wording that I would say about that, is learning to ferociously self-love and accept myself in my totality. Getting into the nuts and bolts, getting into the dark aspects of my expression, what I have learned to hide of myself for so many years, like it's decades now, I'm 37 years old, it's like in many senses like three and a half decades of suppressing aspects of my being. And it's not just, you know, my upbringing, albeit it's so fundamental, because it's like from 0 to 8, the majority of our beliefs about the world, the beliefs about ourselves, are set down in our subconscious mind, and the life we create comes from those beliefs. So it's like of massive relevance what we witness at home and what we learned energetically, emotionally, psychologically by osmosis. And yet, the society that we're in as well just bombards us with this secondary purpose. It's all about the outside. All these songs, all this romantic sort of bullshit superficiality that is we're bombarded with by films. It's all about this, you know, be the cool guy, be the fucking macho guy, be the guy with the perfect body, be the provider, the guy that has his shit sorted. You know, he's the one that wins the girl. It's the guy with the money, with the big car. You know, there's all of these expectations engendered within us that the successful guy has the look, you know, in films. It doesn't matter what the fuck he's dying with a hanger. Well, he's still looking fucking brilliant. Like, look at the hair done. Even guys wearing makeup now more than ever before. Tanning, waxing, fucking sunbeds, suntans. Like, I'm not saying that any, like, this is wrong. There's no aspect of human behavior wrong, but it's when we get lost in this external purpose, this external perfectionism, this external part of, you know, this expression of be perfect. This expectation that, you know, we're meant to be perfectly patient, perfectly empathetic, perfectly sensitive, perfectly in control of our emotions at all times, and anything outside of that, we should beat the shit out of ourselves. Just touching base with you. You know, in your relationship at home, and more Kings of Freedom, I'm leaning into married men with kids, and those of you that are listening in that aren't maybe married or are married, don't have kids yet, or, you know, maybe you've no intention of being married, well, you're welcome. You're so welcome to take part at these digital campfire conversations, of course, and 95% of it is highly relevant, but leaning in, you know, more and more from a marketing perspective, it's like, you know, to increase the impact, I've had to lean in more and more to find a niche that I can speak to a more specific perspective. You know, in your married life, do you ever find that there's the inner critic can be gnawing away in the background? Ever find that there's that inner struggle to be the good guy, be the great dad, be the wonderful husband? And yet behind the scenes, there's a fuckload of inner criticism. There's a deep frustration. And sometimes, do you ever find that to sedate yourself from this inner criticism, this shame, this deep felt inadequacy of, you know, there's deep questions there. Are you good enough for the job? Your wife mightn't be so happy with you. There's a lot of complaints, and, like, you know, you're come home from a long day at work, and then there's more stuff put on your plate, and it's like, wow, all these competing demands. And you know, you end up losing your patience with your kids, and you want to do better, but fuck me, like, after such a long day at work, and there's so much stress at work, and you're doing your best there, and you're providing, and then there's all these chores and competing demands of, you know, the house, the home, intimate relationship, parenting, work, your parents' health, of family, extended, your own family, etc., etc. And in all of this, you want to keep yourself fit, and you want to, you know, develop hobbies and interests on the side, and there's certain dreams. In all of this, do you ever find that it's fucking intense on the inside? That there's an inner struggle to actually step into this arena on a daily basis and meet the expectations and meet the competing demands of the ecosystem of your entire life and all the needs that there are, the desires to meet all the needs of the people in your family, in your extended environment, but also tick the boxes off your spiritual needs, your needs for solitude, your needs for some downtime by yourself. Do you find that there's an inner critic there? There's a feeling there, and we can sedate by blaming, we can sedate by going sort of pointing a finger at our kids. They should just fucking behave better, and, you know, fucking if there's a mess in the room, and we sort of fly off the handle and sort of point a finger at them, what they're not doing. Should just behave better, and, like, our goddesses, our queens, wives, can point a finger at them what they're not doing, because they're asking, we might feel deep down they're asking too much of us, to have expectations, and they're projecting maybe their frustrations from their wounded aspect. They have a 100% as well. Of course, there again, the reminder is that Kings of Freedom, we just own our own 100%. There's where the power is. But they can have their stuff that they're projecting. So you might blame, there might be a sedation of, you know, sedating the shame that you might feel for yourself. And nearly every single guy in deep conversation, there's a deep unexpressed aspect of shame that a guy is feeling. He knows it's there, it's gnawing away at him. But we might sedate that by blaming our woman, saying, well, she needs to step the fuck up and she's projecting, but there's fucking for every time she points the finger at what you're not doing, well, there's three answers your brain has readily at hand of what she's not doing. You know, we sedate ourselves away from taking the full feeling of this shame that we have not been conditioned or educated how to feel into, how to relax into. We haven't felt ever allowed to feel in and feel okay that there's these deep needs to express emotions and know what they are and tap into the wisdom of them. But because we haven't been allowed and educated how to do that, you know, we need to sedate somehow, so we end up blaming our woman. And we feel guilt about that too, because we'll have these fights and we'll throw shit that direction and we have this tit-for-tat stuff going on, which just adds to the struggle of modern married life with kids and trying to be a man, a good man. And all of this struggle, you know, it's just a same, so many men I'm talking about, it's like the same shit, different day, roundabout. Where, you know, it's almost like there's a minimizing and normalizing of, well, that's just the way it is. And almost like the freedom is when you retire. The freedom is when, oh, hopefully, you know, when the kids shift off, move away from home, we'll have more time for sex. We'll have more time for connection. Well, I'll have more time to myself on holidays. Maybe something will happen and some financial breakthrough that will give you the capacity to finally be free. We start shifting our freedom to the horizon. Sometime when life will just open up and things will be better. That horizon isn't really coming anytime too soon, have you noticed? The inner freedom is stepping back into primary purpose. And the core part of this podcast is opening up to conversation on a regular basis on multiple different topics, but it could be that the golden thread is stepping into the primary purpose, guys. And like, this is the biggest shift in my world. Stepping into primary purpose and learning to ferociously self-love and accept myself. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere near complete, but learning to love these hidden aspects of myself, learning to tap into the levels of emotionality. I'm so sensitive. There's so much emotions that come up, and learning progressively to feel them, to honor them, to relax into their presence. This is finally giving me a grounding where I can step into relationship with my queen and she can trust me. That I'm not feeling a frustration, I'm not suppressing myself. Frustration is when I suppress a part of my being. That my fear of rejection, that my woman, my queen will reject me. You know, the Mr. Nice Guy. I suppress the untidy parts of my being that will risk being rejected by the feminine. And then the aggression comes to the surface when, you know, the first wave of anger, the second wave, anger unexpressed, transmits into frustration. The third wave, the fourth wave, it could be the tenth wave. And then a tsunami happens when it's just like, I can't take anymore, and the aggression comes out. A stinging attack, a judgment. I'll shield off, I'll reject. My aggression can be, I'll stonewall in bed, where I won't be receptive at all. You know, it's an aggression, because it's like a subconscious, you know, you're hurting me with all your fucking my direction. I'll hurt you by just rejecting you physically, emotionally, sexually. These dynamics are so common at the core of the modern relationship. And as I say, the primary purpose, that's the revealing, revelatory, liberating part as men. Becoming comfortable that you have a core truth. You have a core masculine core. There's a unapologetic, testosterone-fueled, sexually energized, badass mother trucker in you that has a truth. Has his roots in the ground. You're here to be true to who you are as a man, and that's okay. But this is, you know, it's not one thing. I don't say that to be a motivational speaker and, hey, off you go on into the sunset. This is a deeply sensitive work. These inner fears of feminine rejection, they can be very real. It can be quite frightening and very vulnerable to learn to start owning your own truth in the face of the feminine. Until you have grounded yourself, hence the work and the brotherhood at kingsoffreedom.me, you know, all that work and this podcast and everything I'm doing and my deep one-on-one intimate coaching with guys, predominantly it is about learning to ferociously self-love and accept yourself in your totality. Because only then do your roots go really down into the ground underneath your feet, where you're fucking rooted in your truth. You move with nothing to prove you are enough. Only when you have the foundation and the roots that go so deep into the earth that the trunk, which is you, the external you, the secondary you, that steps into your intimate relationship, that steps into the workplace, that steps into your parenting, that steps into the world, the trunk is your being in the world as you express in the outside world. Only when your roots go down and your roots are down into the earth and you're comfortable with the dark parts of your being, you're comfortable with your light, you're comfortable in your expression predominantly more and more, your inner self-judgment, your self-critic, that inner voice that has learned to put yourself down, you're less and less caught up with that. You've only when you're learning to be really kind to yourself, loving with yourself, compassionate with yourself, learning to love yourself, learning to praise yourself, learning to receive acknowledgement and create a brotherhood around you of men that are comfortable in your power, comfortable in your truth, comfortable in your shadow, comfortable in your wounds, comfortable in the inner challenges, to actually support you and will acknowledge you through that. Only when you start learning with brotherhood to love yourself and accept yourself, which is primary purpose, this inner world aspect of yourself, only then, guys, are you ever going to be comfortable to be the trunk of the tree. You know, the roots is that inner world, the trunk is the secondary aspect. Only then will you be comfortable to be rooted and grounded in communication and deep conversation and deep intimate journeying with your woman, with your feminine. And she'll challenge you. Have you noticed that? She will challenge you. She will challenge your roots to see, are you trustworthy? And the deeper you go with the roots, the more deeply she will challenge you. She exists to test the hell out of you. Slow down with that. How comfortable are you with that? Your woman, in your relationship, her secondary purpose in the relationship with you is to test the living hell out of you. Oh, but that's unfair. That's the puppy dog, feminine pleasing, inner child, wounded aspect of our being that we rebel against. That we don't fucking like the challenge that she's consistently challenging us. You come home with a $1 million contract signed, and as David Ida says, it's like you forgot the milk. She's like, you fucking forgot the milk. The point, and they know the triggering points where our weakness, where our break of conscious presence is, and they'll poke at them. Not because they're out to get us, it's because they're not our mothers. They want the alpha wolf, trustworthy, badass motherfucker, comfortable in his truth, he moves with nothing to prove, he is enough. That's the man that's trustworthy to them. The Mr. Nice Guy, puppy dog persona that is the feminine pleasing, yeah, it might please the feminine, and they've had their conditioning of the, you know, these fucking romantic songs and that conditioning, oh, the knight in shining armor bullshit. No, they want the badass alpha wolf kingly presence in his truth, and he moves with nothing to prove, he is enough. Why? Because only when we are self-loving and accepting our own dark sides are we okay and comfortable with the dark sides of the feminine. Only when we're grounded and rooted in our being can we sit with the feminine storm, the emotional, unpredictable fucking changes in a nanosecond from hot to cold, light to shadow. Have you noticed that journey? Only when we're fine with our own inner masculine and feminine unpredictable storm on the inside are we at home, are we at one. Only when we're at home with our own inner storm, ferociously loving ourselves and accepting ourselves, do we see the humour in the inner journey that our woman is going through. She fucking yearns that. And she knows you're that powerful. Part of Kings of Freedom is to remind you incessantly of how fucking powerful you are. And to invite you every single episode into relaxing in and surrendering and opening up to this inner masculine feminine, the primary masculine feminine, this emotional storm, to open up to accepting and loving and accepting all these emotions that you have suppressed. And you know, in this episode, it's inviting you to surrender this nice guy, feminine pleasing dark side and start investigating a little bit deeper into what's going on with that, and to step into the more trustworthy element of your truth. In your truth you move with nothing to prove. And coming into landing here, guys, as always, just want to acknowledge you for your power, for your grace, for your courage in listening into such a conversation. The vast majority of men are listening to podcasts and reading books that are quite comfortable. Peak performance is like how to perform better, how to be more focused, how to hit your goals. And all of that stuff is powerful and it's beautiful, and I fucking dig that shit. Like, it's a big part of my masculine core to achieve my goals and do all this epic shit on the outside. But there's a lot of secondary purpose, success and achievement, which is beautiful and honourable, sacred. But these conversations are the triggering conversations. This podcast is where it's the uncomfortable, murky, dark side. It's the conversation that most men are unwilling or afraid to have. And unwilling and afraid to have does not mean that they're lesser men. It's just from that conditioning. So, you know, I'm so glad to and appreciative of your presence here. And I acknowledge directly, you know, if you've listened in and you're listening in here at the end of this episode, that means you haven't shut off. You haven't shut off to the triggering, provocative elements of this. And if you're a returning king, you know, I appreciate your returning presence and your willingness to do this dance. And by the fact that you're returning, I'm very grateful that, and I'm loving the fact that you're finding some service. You're finding something that's meaningful for you in your life. This is not informational. This is transformational. And the invitation is to engage with the information, to engage with the ideas, to engage with the provocative aspects, to reflect a bit deeper, to journal on this, to take some time to yourself. Just reflect on what's coming up, what was meaningful, what was triggering, what did you find hit home to be true for you in your inner world as you relate with your queen in the outside world. You know, it's only, information is not power. Information is only powerful when it's engaged with, when it's nurtured, when it's questioned, when it's played with, when it's experimented with, when it's brought into full engagement in the arena of life. That's the king of freedom way. Freedom is what we're about. Fearless freedom, masculine mastery, kingly confidence only comes by engaging with the dark side. The hero's journey. You exit the known world, enter the underworld, the shadow world, the world of darkness inside, to emerge with the elixir of life, the far side. When you've come, all the great stories have this in the tapestry of great stories. That's where what happens, the hero's journey. This is what the hero's journey is about in this podcast. I'm hearing the ding dong. You might be hearing it there in the background. That's the 9 o'clock ding dong of the local church. I think that's signaling a beautiful time to come into landing. So much more to be said on this, but as I've come, it's almost like a beautiful ritual of mine to say at the end. What has been said is perfect as it was said. What remains unsaid will be said at another time when it is perfect and will serve you even better does at that time. Until the next time, kingly brothers, beautiful, magnificent men around the world, with deep bows and big love, have an amazing kingly day.